going to do what I haven't done in a long time. I'm going to take my jacket off. We're getting serious. Matthew chapter 4. Oh man, I'm getting cold now. I'm from Arizona. All right, verse number 1. Follow along as I read. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these that these stones be made bread." And can't you just feel the arrogance? "If thou be the Son of God," like Jesus needs to prove to the devil or anybody that he is the Son of God. But there it is. It's kind of wrapped up that sarcasm and ugh, it's just oozes of yuck. Verse number 4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith to him, If thou be the, there it is again, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Amen. Then the devil leaveth him. That's what we're all waiting for, isn't it? And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So the answers that we need to deal with temptations that we face in life are all right here. And we've been talking about it, and I look forward to what God's going to give us tonight. Let's pray. Father, I pray your blessings on this particular message, as though we all will acknowledge tonight, as some of us have already acknowledged when we walked into this place, that we need to hear from you. And we need something from you tonight, because we have tanks that are either empty or half empty, or wherever we are in this week and in our spiritual struggle this week and in this life, really. We need you to do something in us that only you can do. And certainly the devil has his promises and he has his ways of bringing temptation. It's all empty. It brings no real blessings or answers or help. It's just all empty promises, but yet in you is truth and righteousness and holiness and peace and joy, and all the answers that we need in life are found right there in you and in your word. So help us to be guided to you. Help us to have strength to stand with you and for you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. So we are on part 4 of our series, Understanding the Temptation of Satan. And tonight, the title, if I give a subtitle or a title to just this, this thought tonight, it'll be this. The temptation is simply this, or the way I would put it: I'm missing out. So the tempter comes and he says, "I'm missing out." He wants us to think that. Now, listen, when I was in high school, I was a good basketball player. Well, not anymore. And the older I get, the better I was. You ever heard? You know how that goes, right? But anyway, I mean, I was a decent player. I had this crossover. It was mean. What's that mean? It's mean. It means it was sweet. Fast, quick. Not quick or fast or anything above. The crossover, it doesn't cross or over, you know? I mean, it's in my mind, but none of the actual actions take place. But anyway, crossover, I mean, I would breeze by guys, lay up, jump shot, whatever. And almost always win. It just felt like, yeah, it just fluid and nice. So the boys and I are playing basketball the other day, and all of it's in my mind. Brother Jeremy, you can relate to this probably. All of it's in my mind, but I can't act it out. It's like my kids, you know, they're doing everything I used to be able to do. And then they're doing the crossover, and then Caleb just does this crossover and he goes by me. And I'm telling my body to go that way, but my body didn't move. I mean, it took a long time before anything began to move. And he was already way, way past me, you know, in that process. Now, that's how it is now, but it didn't used to be that way. It used to be, you know, on the other side of the coin. Now, I remember in the league that I played in, I was above average. I went to a university basketball camp, and all of these kids and various talents. And even at this basketball camp, you know, in some of the, you know, skills levels, I was above average even at those camps. But I always ran into the same problem when it came to the skill level rising. I always ran into the same problem when I played. It was my height. I was always too small. And I would have to stay out of the lane because I would drive it in and then the ball would disappear. It was gone. I mean, they would swat that thing into the bleachers, you know. So I would hang out on the outside. I would pass it a lot and do jump shots and look for openings. And I made my living out there, but I didn't go into the lane too much because, you know, my height was at a disadvantage. So along the way, I started telling myself this. You know, if I was only taller, I feel like the guy on The Wizard of Oz, if I only had a brain. Well, for me, that too. But if I only was a little bit, if I was only a little bit taller, then, man, how great would I be? And I have all this vision of how great I could be if I was just, you know, a couple inches taller or maybe this much taller. And I was telling, through that process, I kept telling myself, I'm missing out. I'm missing out on where I could be in the basketball world because I'm not tall enough. Well, the devil does that exact same thing to you and me all of the time. Now, maybe not related to our height. Some of us, we've just always been, you know, like whenever we were in third grade, you know. So, but anyway, the devil comes along and in that temptation, you know, it's very specific to each and every one of us. But if we could summarize it, we would say it like this: you're missing out. I mean, there's some things in this life. I mean, you don't have the happiness that you could have. I mean, think about, you know, how happy all those other people are out there in this world. And you live your life and you see all those happy people and you wonder, man, I must be missing out. I'm not happy like they are. Or at least we assume or we think that they have some kind of a happiness that we're missing out on. And the devil tempts us with that. We're just living our life and we feel like we're missing out on some kind of a happiness. And the devil comes along and he says, see what you're missing out on. And then he offers it to you. He says, you know all that happiness you're missing out on? I can give it to you. I can give you that happiness. And I wonder, you know, I mean, I used to think there was some things I could do to make myself taller, but there isn't. I mean, I would work out. I would do a lot of working out. And I got to where I could jump really high. But you know, none of that stuff made me taller. You know, I feel like as I get older, I'm just going to get shorter, actually. The devil comes along the way and he says, see all these things you're missing out on? I mean, there's happiness, fulfillment. You know, fulfillment is such a relative term. People have been looking for satisfaction and fulfillment in life. This is an age-old dilemma, you know. I've preached about finding true satisfaction, and I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, you know, I get what you're saying. I just don't fully understand it. It's kind of like fulfillment in life. I'm looking for fulfillment, something that fulfills me. It's such a relative thing. You can't almost, like, put a specific to it. Like, so, like, you know, when I say fulfillment in life, this is what I'm talking about. Then I would have to use biblical terms like peace and joy and the things that God gives us to say this is what fulfillment in life looks like. But people know how to identify when they're not being fulfilled. We might not be able to point out what fulfills us or how we can be fulfilled, but we can sure find out or point out in life when we're not feeling it. You know who likes to bring that up to you? oh, you're not really feeling satisfied right, with your life the way it is right now. You're not fulfilled right now. You know who brings that up? It's the devil. He wants you to think that you're missing out. You don't have that happiness. You don't have that fulfillment. You don't have that satisfaction in life. You know what? Here's the thing is you're missing out. And you know what? Along the lines with that, the devil comes and he says, not just you are you missing out on satisfaction and fulfillment. There's some things over here. If you embrace and you pursue these things, they will give you that fulfillment. These things over here, they will give you that satisfaction and all that happiness you feel like you're missing out on. That's the temptation that comes along the way, and the devil wants us to have that. And Jesus is going to feel that. And you and I can already relate to it. I mean, this is the essence of the temptation that Satan's going to bring to him, the third temptation. Now, Jesus has already faced two temptations. I'm not going to rehash all of that because we did that on Sunday. Go listen to all those sermons, okay? Because we did a lot of repetitive work on that. But I think this is one thing that's worth saying again. And that Jesus was prepared for the temptations. And you know, I love to start with that. I mean, these are the temptations, and then let's finish by saying this, and we should be prepared. No. He started off fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. That means before the temptation ever came, Jesus was already prepared for it. I mean, when the temptation comes to us, and we're not prepared, how do you think we're going to do? I mean, we're like, fail already. It's like when I was in fourth grade science class. When the teacher gave the test, I didn't have to wonder how I was going to do on that test. I was going to fail it, and I knew I was going to fail it. I was looking around at the people sitting next to me to see if I could figure this one out based on how well they studied for the test. You know? So you're coming into a test, you're coming into a trial, you're coming into a temptation, and you're not prepared, you're not going to pass. You write it down. You're already going to fail this one. So we need to prepare ourselves. Well, how do we do that, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. We need to devote ourselves to our devotions. I wish I could say that three times in one sentence. We need to be devoted to devoting ourselves to our devotions. There, I figured it out. We got to have devotions. We talked about that all day on Sunday. Don't raise your hand, okay? But how many of us, we're like, I had good devotions this week. You know what I mean? Now, some of us can raise our hands. Some of us maybe not as high. We would go like this. And maybe some of us, and some of us, you know. We got to have good devotions. That means you need to get up and you need to read your Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. More than maybe 2 minutes of reading your Bible. Now, if you just read for 2 minutes, that's better than zero, last time I checked. But we need to read it for a little bit of time. And here's what I've been doing lately, and I'm going to encourage you about this. Let's read the Bible until God gives us something. You know, let's not just go through the motions. Let's read the Scripture, and then when we get to the end of it, if we can reflect and think, I didn't get anything out of that, which happens to all of us, then just read it again. But before you read it the second time, say, God, would you give me something from this? Because I need to be equipped, and I'm not going to get equipped if I don't get something from you. Amen. And so we read it, and then God begins the process of breaking our heart and teaching us through the work of the Holy Ghost in us. He explains the Scripture to us as we're studying it and we're reading it. And what will happen, maybe the fourth or fifth, or some of us maybe a lot more than that, we read the Scripture until God says, and this is what I have for you. And then it's like a power punch, isn't it? I mean, it socks you, but it's also like gives you strength. Like, ooh, I needed that, but yes, I needed that. And you know, through that, God equips you for the temptations that are going to come your way. He strengthens us. He makes us prepared through our devotions. You wonder, Pastor, why do I fail so much? Because your devotions are not what they need to be. I'm like, is it really that simple? It is that simple. Jesus said, what did he say? Verse number 4, Israel, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Did you know that when Jesus dealt with those temptations, he said, it is written, it is written, again, and then he said, it is written? Every time he's quoting Scripture, that means he's equipped, his devotions are where they need to be. I already talked more about that than I wanted to. But he was prepared. The first temptation was my will instead of God's will. And so it's contrasted, where the temptation comes along the way and say, listen, God failed you. Look how hungry you are. I mean, you shouldn't be hungry. You're the son of, if you're the son of God, you shouldn't be hungry. So God's failed you. Why don't you just take care of yourself? And so instead of waiting on God, we're going to take care of ourselves. So it's our will instead of God's will. That's a temptation. Amen. The devil comes along the way and he says, you know, God's way is not going to work for you. I mean, God is not following through. God is not carrying through, following through for you. You're going to need to figure this out on your own. That's the first temptation. Your will instead of God's will. Well, that one didn't work. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So it doesn't matter how long it takes. God is working. We need to let Him work and trust Him. Amen. So then Satan comes on with the second temptation, which is this. Well, okay, try do God's will. Go ahead and do God's will. But how about this? Do it your way. Amen. Do God's will, but do it your way. I was yesterday, I told you that jog that I did. I didn't tell you how far I went. Anyways, it was a long. So I'm jogging, I'm listening to a sermon. And while I'm listening to this sermon, the preacher gave this illustration, and I thought, that's the second temptation. That's what it is. And the illustration was Uzzah. Remember Uzzah in the Old Testament? When God had given Israel the Ark of the Covenant, and they needed to transport the Ark of the Covenant. And God, did you know in Deuteronomy, God told Israel exactly how to transport the covenant, the Ark? He said there's poles or rods that you are to put into the ark, and then there are to be men that are to hold on to these rods and carry the ark, and that's how you transport it. But what did David decide? What did he say? Hey, you know what? I have a better idea. God wants us to transport the ark back to where it belongs in Israel, but instead of using the poles, we're going to build a new cart. I mean, it's going to be a beautiful cart. It's going to be new. And we're going to put the ark on it. And it's going to be awesome. Amen. That's what David said. So they did. They're doing God's will. The problem was, is they were doing it their way. Amen. And along the road, like a cart would on rough terrain, before we have paved roads, which watch out, these roads right out here in front of our church would cause the ark to rattle. Rattle. Is that a word? Rock? Rattle? I don't know. Flip-flop around? So anyway, the ark starts flip-flopping around. It's about to fall off the cart, and Uzzah, just a normal guy who loves the Lord, trying to be obedient along the way, reaches out to steady the ark. He touches it in disobedience, defiance of the will of God, and he died on the spot. That's an example of God's will our way. Amen. It never works out. Never works out. And so next, Jesus is brought into this temptation. The third temptation, which we talked about in the beginning, is I'm missing out. Now I want you to see here. Look at verse number 8, and we'll talk about the details of this temptation. Again, the devil taketh him up, speaking of Jesus, into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, this is what Satan said, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. It's quite a promise, isn't it? But let's break this down. Let's see what Satan really did here. So he took him up to a mountain. And so the idea here is that he was able to, and this is a miraculous event, he was able to show Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. Now, whenever we talk about kingdoms, here's what we're talking about. Let's just funnel it down to really what it's all about. It's all about the people. So when we say kingdoms, we're talking about the people themselves. Now, that's kind of an interesting promise to make from Satan. But let's think about what he's actually saying. Satan is promising Jesus that he would give him all of the people. Well, that's a pretty amazing promise. Why did Jesus come? To seek and to save that which was lost, which, by the way, who is that? That's people. It's people. It's all of us, but it's people, isn't it? So Satan says, all those people you came for, I'm going to give them to you. Then he said this, not just the people or the kingdoms, I'll give you the glory. Amen. I'll give you the glory. That's what he said. Now, glory, we've talked about this. A way to understand glory is like a spotlight or a light that shines. And in that message in John chapter 17, we talked about it was verses 1 through 5, we talked about the glory that will be shown on Jesus when he dies on the cross. So when Jesus goes to the cross to die for the sins of mankind, the glory is in Jesus on the cross. The glory, watch, is the gospel. And so it's as though Satan says, watch, this is so interesting how he's doing this. He's saying, I'll give you all those people that you came for. I'll just give them to you. And, like, watch out, time out. I won't just give you the people. I will shine the spotlight on the gospel for you. So here's what Satan is saying to Jesus. I'll give you the people, and I'll give you the glory, and you won't even have to go and die on the cross. You don't have to die on the cross. I'll give it all to you. Wow, that sounds like a good deal. I mean, that sounds a lot easier than going to the cross. You know, it's in Isaiah 53, Jesus was called the man of sorrows. That's what he was called. So in other words, the promise from Satan was to the man of sorrows that you won't have to suffer. He was called, Jesus in that reference was called one who would suffer. So Satan makes this promise that I'll give you the kingdoms and the glory, and you won't have to experience any pain. But there's one thing that you'll have to do. Look what he said, verse number 9. All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. So the only thing, it's a one-time thing. That's what that's the implication of this promise from Satan is. There's just one thing you need to do. And I'll give, you won't have to go to the cross. You won't have to suffer. You won't have to be separated from the Father. You know, you won't have to, none of these things will have to happen. I'll just give it all to you. But just one thing, one time, this is all you'll need to do is bow and worship me. Now, fall down is the idea of bowing, and worship has to do with acknowledging the worth of. That's what worship means. It means I'm acknowledging the worth or worthiness of the one I'm worshiping. So Satan says, you fall down and you acknowledge my worthiness. It's, you know, it's like he's in Isaiah, I think it was Isaiah 14, we talked about this on Sunday. The reason why Satan fell from heaven is because he exalted himself. And he said this, remember he said, I will be like the Most High. And so that glory that he was wanting, here he's asking Jesus to give it to him. You just, remember, I mean, this is what it's all about. You just acknowledge my worthiness and I'll give all of this to you. That's what he promised. But there's one little, like, fine print thing. You know the fine print that usually we don't read, but then we regret we didn't read it because there was something in there, you know? Like legalese. Like, I missed it, you know? Oh, yeah, all of this stuff is, you know, you don't get any of it. All these promises we made because the fine print. Well, there's fine print to this, and Satan didn't say it. But Jesus knew what it was. Well, what was it? Well, let's jump ahead of it. I'll show it to you, and then we'll talk about it. Verse 10, look at it. There's something Jesus knew, but Satan didn't say. You ready? Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only shalt thou, him only thou shalt, what? Serve. See that word serve? Satan didn't say that. But Jesus knew that that's what he was talking about. You know, there are three Hebrew boys in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel. One of my favorite stories, you know? Just amazing, the hand of God in the burning fiery furnace, you know? I feel like I wish that I was there and I was one of those guys, but then at the same time, do you really wish you were there? Because how terrifying that would be, you know? So King Nebuchadnezzar, he created the golden image, and then he told everybody, everybody, when the music starts, when the band strikes up, you fall down and you worship this image. That's what he said. He said, worship the image. Didn't say anything about serving it, but he said, worship it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the music started, they didn't fall down. Amen. And it made Nebuchadnezzar pretty upset. You know, that's sort of an understatement. He came to these guys. You know, I felt like there was a little bit of mercy, or at least Nebuchadnezzar probably felt like he was being merciful. Hey, I'm going to give you another chance. Wow, the king's giving me another chance. He didn't have to do that, but he does. The music's going to strike up. You go ahead and forget what you did a minute ago because you didn't bow down and worship. Now you're going to have another chance. Music goes, you bow down and worship. Well, they're like, no, we're not going to do that. We're not worried about the fiery furnace because our God is able to deliver us from your hand. But listen to what they said in response, because it sheds light on what Jesus understood. And it's like these Hebrew boys understood this. And you and I think if we're reasonable, we'll understand it too. But listen to this. But if not, in other words, throw us in the fiery furnace and God will deliver us. But even if he doesn't, this is what they said. Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image. Worship and serve. Satan doesn't want you to know that. He'll offer you everything to satisfy, to give fulfillment, happiness. All that stuff that he tries to make us think we're missing, or maybe deep down within we feel like maybe we're missing. And he says, the world and all the things in the world, it'll give you this fulfillment. He makes this promise, but you have to serve it. He won't tell you that. In other words, it's not a one-time commitment, like a one-time worship and bow down and then you'll receive it. No, no, no. If you want to have the fulfillment the world that Satan offers through the way of the world, if you want to have that fulfillment, you bow down and worship it. But here's the thing, is you have to be committed to serve it. Because you're not going to get the fulfillment, the happiness, and the satisfaction from the way of the world and the promises of Satan here if you don't commit yourself to it. You have to be committed to it. Amen. One of the things that bothered me the most when I was in Bible college was kids that went to Bible college to be in the ministry who didn't make it through Bible college. It broke my heart. It was a lot. You know, our class was over 150 of men that went to Bible college to say, you know what, I want to be a pastor. Or at least a good number of those guys said, I'm going to be a pastor. Or I believe God wants me to be a pastor. And our graduating class was 44 of guys that were going to be pastors. That's a big difference, you know, from when we started to when we finished. I remember my freshman year, or actually my senior year of high school, and I was getting connected to the college where I was going to go there at Heartland, and there was a singing group that had a guy singer on there that he had a voice that was just so unique, and it was incredible, and he would sing songs on the CD, and he just felt like a superstar to me. You know, back in those days, remember CDs? Raise your hand, remember those. Anyway, I was listening to this sermon while I was running. He was talking about cassette tapes. Yeah. Some of y'all are like, oh, I remember way before that. Yeah. Yeah, I remember the chisel, Miss Tiffany. And so anyway, so he's on this CD, and his voice amazing. And he's like, to me, a superstar. And for God, like, I want to be like that guy. And he would sing, he had this, you know, incredible voice that in a range that was high. It was high, he could sing pretty high. He'd sing pretty low too, but he could have that high voice, you know, not real high. Like, well, I don't know, is that a guy voice? Or he didn't sing that high, but it was high enough where it was like, man, I wish I could do that. And I remember it was just me in the car. I don't know if you do this, Brother Kane, but I'm driving and nobody's in the car but me. But when I stop at a stoplight and people are watching me, if they videoed me and put it on Facebook, it could be embarrassing because I'm singing. I'm singing along. And we're going along, and I feel like I sound like him. Yeah, turn it up. And I sound just like him. No, I don't. But anyway, the volume's pretty loud, and I can really hear him. And I think, you know, anyway. So I'm singing, and I'm like, I sound like him, and this is great. And then he gets to those real high parts that I wish I could do. And I'm just trying to hit it. I'm trying to get to that note. And I'm screaming. Because I'm trying to hit that high note. And I just couldn't do it. And then he came to our church. He was friends with a guy who I went to school with, and they were hanging out. He came to our church. I felt like, man, this is Michael Jordan at our church. I mean, of Heartland singing groups, you know, Bible college singing groups. This guy's the superstar. I wanted his autograph. And we're at the piano, and we're singing, and I just felt like this weird kind of bro, you know, anyway, I just really thought he was cool. So here's the end of that story. He left the Lord. He didn't finish school. He got drinking liquor, and he ruined his voice. You know, and I thought, man, that's a bummer. What causes somebody to do that? So along the way, the devil, he tempts us and he says, you are missing out. You are serving God and you're missing out. You need to get involved with this and this, and then if you do that and you embrace that, then you will receive something that you're not getting from God. That's the temptation. But the devil doesn't tell you the end of it. He doesn't tell you the whole thing. There's fine print. He'll tell you, I'll give you this stuff, but I won't tell you you have to be committed to it. And then I won't tell you as you're committed to it, you'll become addicted to it. And then I won't tell you that everything I promised you to give you, because of it, I won't give you. Because it won't fulfill you, it won't satisfy you, and it'll leave you empty. And in the end, you're like Uzzah, and it'll just destroy you. And what you thought would make you whole and full actually pulled you further away. He doesn't tell you any of that, though. And you know, along the way, Jesus would have known, he would have known this. He would have known through Satan's lie and his deception. And you know, you can bypass the cross. I'll give you everything you came to this earth to do. All of the people and all of the glory and all of it. I'll give it to you. You don't even have to go to the cross. But Jesus knew. He saw past it. Look at verse number 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. And I love that. What a good way to start. Get thee hence, Satan. Why would Jesus say that? How could he have that confidence? For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now that's a quote from Deuteronomy 6. And I feel like after hearing Jesus quote from Deuteronomy all these times, that maybe we should read Deuteronomy more often, you know? I'm like, oh, Deuteronomy, I don't know. Jesus just defeated the temptation of Satan using Deuteronomy. Maybe we should read Deuteronomy more, especially chapter 6, because two of them came right out of that chapter. So Jesus says, no, only worship God. I'm not going to worship you. By the way, only serve God. That's the part you didn't tell me. But I'm not going to serve you. I'm going to be committed to serving God. Ooh, that's good. It reminds me of a great verse we taught the kids when they were small. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. They're like, yep, I do that every time we sing hymns. Yeah. Listen to this. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. That's what we should do. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Listen to this. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Ooh, if we just did that a little bit more. Walk through those church doors with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Now, why can we do this? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. There's a phrase in there I want to point out to you. Remember this? Know ye that the Lord, he is God. Amen. You know what that means? All the little g gods, they're not really God. And all the promises that the little g gods that they make in this world, they're empty. Think about this. This is really cool, Brother David. So Satan said, worship me. And just bow and worship me. What I'll give you is the kingdom, the people, and the glory. You know what Jesus knew? What he's going to say to his disciples in like two chapters. Let's just say the whole, we don't have to say it together, but you, just in your heart, say this with me, okay? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Let's skip all the way to the end, right after that one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the what?
Glory.
And the glory forever. Amen. That's the end of it. Satan has no authority, no power, no kingdom, no glory. It's lies. He has something that looks glamorous and looks good and looks like it'll satisfy and give us comfort and peace and happiness and joy and all this stuff that the devil tries to tempt us to think that we're missing out on in this life. And it's empty. And so we'll pursue it and we'll go after it and it won't deliver because it can't deliver. It's empty. Yeah, just leave you worse. You know, what bothers me is it's like we just eat it up. You know, it's like we feel sad. And we feel, you know, I'm not satisfied. And I just don't have fulfillment. And I just don't like my life right now. And it's, where am I going to get it? And anything that comes along the way, we'll just like, well, I'll try that. And we'll just eat it up. Like one of my kids. You know what? Listen, there's one of my kids that if you walk away from your plate and there's food on it and you were planning on coming back and eating that food, you better hurry up. Because he could just be walking by. Oh, somebody left some food here for me. I think I'm going to eat it. And actually, I didn't tell all the truth there. Let me reverse, because not that much thought goes into it. The food's there, and he's walking by. Food. Food. No thinking, just food and in mouth. That's where it goes, right there. Like the Cookie Monster. The Cookie Monster goes by, oh, food, or cookies, you know. Oh, it's just, it's there, he's taking it in. Listen. When we are not letting God be our satisfaction and fulfillment, whatever that is in our life, we're not letting Him give us the joy that we need and the happiness that fulfills us, then the devil is going to make sure that there is something on the platter. And if you're not prepared for these temptations, then you're going to go walk by and you're going to take it in because you're going to be tempted to think that it's going to satisfy you and it's not. You're just going to take it in. So we allow ourselves to take things in. And we get on Facebook. And we think that we can find something in Facebook that's going to make us feel better. And it never works. I don't even have Facebook, but I don't need Facebook to know. It's not going to give you what it tells you it's going to give you. It's going to keep pulling stuff up, and it's going to make you feel like, wow, I wish I didn't watch that. Or I wish I didn't see that image. I wish I could undo that. Don't you? You know, whenever you shake your phone and then it untypes something, that happens to me when I don't want it to happen. And when I want it to happen, I just look like a fool. And it's not even anyway. So don't you wish that that was something that God built into us? Like we saw something. Oh, good, it's gone. Undo. We can't do that. Now, some of us. I think some of us are better at it just because it's natural, you know, just forget things. Anyway, so we won't go there, but we can look at Facebook and we think maybe it'll do, or YouTube. You know, YouTube has that, Facebook does this too. All these social things do this where you can scroll and it never stops. Or like, and so what you'll do is you'll tell yourself, well, I'll stop at the next one. You never stop at the next one. What are you looking for? I don't know. I'm just looking for something. But you're not going to find it. What you'll find is something that you wish you didn't find. It might take you a while. Usually, if it's YouTube, it won't take you that long. Just keep looking at it. Two or three. Shouldn't have watched that. There it is. It's temptations. Temptation that's built on this. You're missing out on something. And you need to embrace what I can offer you, and it'll give you something that you're not going to get it from God. But here's the thing, is Satan, this world, let me say it this way, the world can't give you what only God can give you. And you can pursue it, and you can go after it, but it can't give it to you. Because only God can give it to you. That there is a kind of satisfaction and joy and fulfillment in this life. And you'll get it from God or you won't get it. Yeah. The world makes the promise, but it can't give it. And you know what's neat about all this is we don't even need it. We don't need the world. We have God. We don't even need it. We have Him. Let me ask you a couple of questions and we'll be done. Pastor, the Lord spoke to me tonight, and I'm gonna ask you this question, okay? Have you been pursuing something to give you what only God can give you? Have you been doing that? I'm not gonna tell you what I think it is, but have you been pursuing something? And you're looking for in that thing, you're pursuing something from it that only God can give you? Then it might be tonight that what we need to do is to reevaluate and do two things. To say, number one, God, I have been pursuing something for a kind of fulfillment and satisfaction that I know only you can give it to me. And I want to repent of that. And I want to get that right. I want to delete this or whatever it is that I need to do. Whatever it is I've been pursuing, I want to get it out. By the way, the world requires commitment. Do you want to find fulfillment? Then you have to fully commit to it. And did you know that when you fully commit to the world to give you something, then it pulls you away from God? It says, oh, worship just one time. But the problem is when you worship it, you serve it, and then you don't serve God because you can't serve God and mammon. You can't do both. So it takes your heart. It takes your attention. It takes you. You're in church, but your mind isn't here. I remember I used to do that. I told you how great basketball I was. I'd sit on the back row and I would play a whole basketball game in my mind during church time. Like, oh yeah, I'm going to try that on the court. It's all in my mind. And so it doesn't even have to be that we're not at church. We could be here and be embracing this world as an avenue to give us something that, watch, only God can give it to you. So we need to repent of that. Need to repent of that. So let me encourage you about that. The second thing is this. How do I equip myself? You got to revive your devotional life. You say, is it that simple? It's not just that simple. It's that critical. We have to revive our devotional life or we will be weak. And we will fail these tests every time. And like, well, you know, the devil doesn't, you know, he doesn't really tempt me that much. Well, you're foolish to think that. It was for lead us, it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then he says this, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Right. Yeah. So we need to do two things. Repent if we've been embracing something that only God can give us. And number two, if our devotional life is not where it needs to be. Let's do that tonight. Father, we pray your blessings. We need to hear from you. We've already heard from you. We need your strength to take steps of faith in this. Help us to do whatever needs to be done. It might be that we need to just turn ourselves away from something we've been pursuing, looking for satisfaction in it. We won't find it there. Just pull us away from you further and further. Would you give us the strength and courage, like you said to Joshua, to be courageous, to be prepared in that way, Lord, that we would repent and renew our commitment to our devotions tonight. We'll give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. If God's worked in your heart, you